This is Cross Hope, a daily word of hope and inspiration with Randy Snyder, Senior Minister of Crossview Christian Church. Now, with today's message from Cross Hope, here's Randy Snyder.
It's a song entitled Drifting. The lyric goes like this. I see your eyes drifting. Drifting. I'm really not that naive. You wear a smile, but it's drifting, drifting. I feel your coldness against my skin. I know what follows the autumn wind. And though you say your heart isn't drifting, drifting, the words simply don't ring true. You're drifting, and I'm losing you. You're drifting, and I'm losing you. Now, I realize that was written in a romantic context, and it was a song that maybe it was a real story out of his life, something that he experienced. I'm sure that many people hearing the lyric have said, been there and done that, with that experience that he's describing in the song. But today, I'm going to talk to you about drifting, not in a romantic sense, but drifting spiritually. Every man in this room, at some point or another, has drifted spiritually in your journey. And you know it. Every man has. Every woman in this room, every young person in this room, there's been a point in your spiritual journey where you drifted to the left or right. You just kind of pulled away from the Lord, and it was so subtle that at first you weren't even aware of it. Sometimes people drift in life and they don't notice it until they've drifted pretty far. And I think you know what I mean by that. That can happen in a relationship at work. It can happen in a relationship with your spouse. It can happen in a relationship with your children, with your siblings, with extended family. And sometimes you drift a good distance before you realize, I have drifted. And we're going to read in the book of Hebrews, a series that we started last week, where the Hebrew writer says, be careful. Pay attention so that you don't drift away. And then the natural progression of drifting after that is to start ignoring the Lord and ignoring your salvation. Another word for it is neglect. And we're going to talk about the word ignore, neglect, and what that means. And it's all in the second chapter of Hebrews. We started last week with Hebrews 1. We talked about Jesus being the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of His being is what chapter 1 taught us. And what does that mean? Jesus is God. You look at Jesus and you're looking at God. The most important thing I said last week, in my opinion, was when I shared with you, somebody asked me, what kind of church do you hope that Crossview will become? And they were talking about size, mega church. Do you want the church to become a community-involved church, a politically active church? And I think I surprised them when I said, I want to be at a church that exalts the name. I want to be at a church and part of a church that lifts up the name that is above every name, that the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord. That's the kind of church I want to be a part of. You know, so many churches in America today exalt mankind. And it sounds great. We're exalting men and women. We're exalting people. We're exalting humanity. And it sounds very noble and altruistic. But Jesus called us to exalt His name. He said, if I am lifted up, I will draw everyone to me. That's where the power is. We're in chapter 2. The message is called Unforgettable. It starts at verse 1. We must pay more careful attention, therefore, to what we have heard, so that we do not drift away. For if the message spoken by angels was binding, and every violation and disobedience received its just punishment, how shall we escape if we ignore or neglect such a great salvation? Well, in my opinion, that's the most penetrating question of Scripture. How shall we escape if we neglect or disregard salvation that we have from the Lord? I hope it speaks to you all this week on Cross Hope. Our website is crosshope.org. I'm always interested in word meanings, and I want to bring up verse 1 again, if we can, about that word drifting. We must pay more careful attention, therefore, to what we have heard so that we do not drift away. Drifting is a nautical term. It has to do with tying a boat to a dock and having that rope untie itself and the boat drifts off. It's about a boat that slips anchor and starts drifting in the ocean. And that can happen too. And maybe you've had a boating experience where you've had a boat that slipped anchor. You've had a boat that was tied to a dock and you thought it was secure, but it wasn't. And it started to drift away. And that's the term the Hebrew writer uses. He said, we've got to pay attention to what we've heard, the gospel message, so that we do not drift away. Personal question, what's happened in your life in the last year that maybe you saw a little drifting going on spiritually in your life? Only you can answer that question. I can't answer that for you. You can't answer it for me. You can't even answer it for the person next to you. What has happened in your life? You know what causes drifting? Money can cause you to drift. The love of money can cause a person to drift. A job can cause somebody to drift. Relationships in life that are good or bad can cause a person to drift. Things can cause you to drift. A house can cause you to drift. A family member can do something that causes you to drift. There's things that happen in life that pull us away from the God who loves us, the God who made us, and the God who bought us with the blood of His Son. I'm just asking a question that only you can answer. Have you drifted? What is it in your life that has caused you to drift? Let's go to verse 3. How shall we escape if we ignore such a great salvation? How shall we escape? What a powerful statement. It's a rhetorical question. How are we going to escape if we ignore or neglect such a great salvation? I want to talk about the word great, first of all. Notice the salvation is not something that's nice or good, it's great. What does that mean? It's vitally important in our life. And sometimes in life, we don't appreciate something that we have that's great. I'm going to illustrate it in a humorous way, and then I'm going to illustrate it in a couple of serious ways. When we ministered in Dallas, Texas, there was a couple who came to visit the church and became a part of the church that said, we just moved to Dallas from Chattanooga, Tennessee. My face lit up because I told this couple, I said, you know, my favorite preacher that I've listened to on the radio for a total of 30 years, and I did, I listened to him up until the year 2000, every Sunday on the radio, is from Chattanooga. And they said, well, who might that be? And I said, Ben Hayden, First Presbyterian Church. And their faces lit up and said, that's where we came from. That's our home church, and we came and moved here to Dallas, and we've been coming to this church for 4 or 5 weeks. And the man looked right at me. I don't think he meant it the way it sounded, but maybe he did. He said, you know, I never realized what a great preacher Ben Hayden was until I came here. Honest to goodness, true. And I just paused, and I said, thanks a lot, pal. And but you know what? I knew what he meant. He had listened to, in my opinion, one of the finest speakers in the country. Grew up there. He and his wife grew up there. And he said, I never appreciated Ben Hayden until we left and moved to Dallas and had to listen to you. And we appreciate him more. That's true with a lot of things in life. That's true with a lot of things in life. And the Hebrew writer says, how are we going to escape this earth, this world, if we ignore, neglect, or let go of such a great salvation? Well, on Monday, we began the second message in the new series called Jesus Is, from the New Testament book of Hebrews. The second chapter of Hebrews, verse 1 says, we have to pay careful attention to what we've heard so that we do not drift away. You may think or may believe that you don't drift from the Lord. Well, according to Hebrews, we do. It's possible to drift from the Lord. He says it's even possible in that chapter to ignore or neglect our salvation. Let's continue to talk about that theme in Hebrews 2, the first 4 verses. I knew what he meant. He had listened to, in my opinion, one of the finest speakers in the country. Grew up there. He and his wife grew up there. And he said, I never appreciated Ben Hayden until we left and moved to Dallas and had to listen to you. And we appreciate him more. That's true with a lot of things in life. That's true with a lot of things in life. And the Hebrew writer says, how are we going to escape this earth, this world, if we ignore, neglect, or let go of such a great salvation? Let me give you a serious way of illustrating it. One author, if I knew his name, I'd tell you who it is, but I don't. He says this, neglect is enough to ruin a man or a woman. A person in business doesn't need to commit forgery or theft to ruin themselves. They only have to neglect their business and the ruin is certain. A person who's lying on a bed of sickness need not cut their throat to destroy themselves. They only need to neglect the means of restoration and be ruined. Man or woman floating in a rowboat above the Niagara Falls need not move an oar or make an effort to destroy themselves. All they have to do is neglect moving an oar at the proper time, and they will certainly be carried over the falls. Most of the calamities of life are caused by simple neglect. What a statement. Most of the calamities of life are caused by simple neglect. By neglect of education, children grow up in ignorance. A farm grows up by neglect to weeds and briars. By neglect, a house goes to decay. By neglect of sowing, a man will have no harvest. By neglect of reaping, the harvest would rot in the fields. And his point is this, there's so many physical things in life that are ruined by neglect. How much more important is it to realize we can't neglect the most important thing in your life, and that is your relationship to the Lord. You may neglect your health, you may neglect a car, as I mentioned in the Psalm series, you can neglect a house for years and you seemingly get by, but don't neglect your relationship with the God who made you through his Son, Jesus Christ. Why? How shall we escape? The Hebrew writer says, if we neglect or ignore such a great salvation. John Piper is a minister in Minneapolis, Minnesota. He's a great writer, and he really spells this passage out for me in a great way. Listen to what he says. It's not as if the Hebrew writer is saying, don't neglect your arthritis, or don't neglect your dandelions, or don't neglect your spinach. He's saying, don't neglect your salvation, your great salvation. So it's as if he said, don't neglect your steak dinners. Don't neglect your cancer healing therapy. Don't neglect your sunrises and sunsets. Don't neglect your Butterfinger blizzards or your new baby's smile or your Rocky Mountains or the summer breezes under the full night sky or your safe warm bed. It's like that. Only what it is really, this great salvation, what he's really saying is this, don't neglect being loved by God. That's interesting. Neglecting your salvation is to neglect being loved by God.
Well, I don't know if you've ever felt neglected or ignored in your life, either personally or socially, whatever the case may be, but a far more serious issue is when we ignore, when we neglect our salvation from the Lord. That's what the Hebrew writer talks about. It's not my idea. We'll continue tomorrow on CrossHope, crosshope.org. Well, yesterday on Cross Hope, we ended our program from Hebrews 2 talking about John Piper's quote on the verse that says, how shall we escape if we neglect such a great salvation? He had a great piece of writing. We were right in the middle of it. We'll back it up a little so you can hear most of this again from John Piper as we continue this message from Hebrews, the second chapter. God bless you.
Only what it is really, this great salvation, what he's really saying is this, don't neglect being loved by God. That's interesting. Neglecting your salvation is to neglect being loved by God. Don't neglect being forgiven and accepted and protected and strengthened and guided by the Lord. Don't neglect the sacrifice of Christ's life on the cross. Don't neglect the free gift of righteousness that's given to us by faith. Don't neglect the removal of God's wrath and the reconciled smile of God. Don't neglect the indwelling Holy Spirit and the fellowship and the friendship of the living Christ. Don't neglect the radiance of God's glory in the face of Jesus. Don't neglect the free access to the throne of grace. Don't neglect the inexhaustible treasure of God's promises. This is the great salvation. Neglecting it is very evil. Neglecting it is very evil. Don't neglect so great a salvation. I want to ask you a personal question. Some of you have gone through the experience of feeling neglected by another person. Maybe as a child, you felt neglected by a parent. Maybe you were dating someone and you felt neglected by the person you were dating. Maybe you're married and you feel neglected by your spouse. Maybe you feel neglected by grown children. Maybe you feel neglected by a brother or sister in life. Magnify the consequences, the ramifications of all that 1,000 times. and you still haven't begun to describe what it means to neglect your relationship with the Lord. Decide today that you're going to be a person who doesn't neglect your relationship with the Lord. I remember telling you about a woman that I knew in another city who said she went to the same church for over 30 years, and that same 30 years they had the same minister. And she was telling me about his ministry, and she was very complimentary, a nice man, nice family, et cetera, et cetera. He said, but you know, in the 30 years that I attended there, she said, I can never remember him ever asking us to decide to do anything. I can never remember him asking us to decide to believe something, to decide to do something, to decide to become something. It was just nice talks to nice people about nice things. He never asked us to decide anything. If you've ever heard me preach 4 or 5 sermons, you know that one of the most common words I use is the word decide. Decide, choose, make a decision to believe the Lord, decide to serve the Lord, decide to love Him with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. And today is decision time again, where you decide that Hebrews 2, 1 through 4 is true, that how shall we escape if we neglect or ignore such a great salvation? We have been drifting away from the Lord, and now we're going to drift toward Him. You know that you have repented in your life. If you want to know what a proof of repentance is, I know a man or woman has repented when they stop walking away from the Lord and they start walking toward Him. I know a man or woman has repented when they stop walking away from the Lord and they turn around, they do a 180, and they start walking toward the Lord.
Well, does that describe your life at all, that you know in your heart of hearts that you have done some walking away from the Lord? And maybe after hearing this message from Hebrews 2, you realize I do need to focus on my relationship with the God who loves me more than I love myself. His name is Jesus.
We began our ministry in Atlanta on March 21st, 1999. On March 3rd of that month, a beloved minister in Atlanta died, Frank Harrington. He was a minister of the Peachtree Presbyterian Church in downtown Atlanta. I had heard of him, and there were people in the church I served that had attended there over the years. He'd been there since the early 70s, and he was a beloved minister for the whole community. Everybody knew Frank Harrington. So I made it my business, since he died the month that I came there, to know a little bit about his ministry. So I got one of his books. And he tells a powerful story about, I think it's out of Atlanta, where there was a typical high school assembly at the typical high school in Atlanta. And that particular day, there were 4 representatives of the military forces at this high school assembly. This principal met with the 4 people from the Army, the Navy, the Air Force, and the Marines, and said, okay guys, four men, you've got 1 hour. I don't care how you divide it up, but you've got 1 hour. When 1 hour after we start, the bell's going to go off and it's over. The kids are just going to get up and leave. So, you know, it doesn't matter. You've got basically 15 minutes apiece. The Army guy got up first. He went 20 minutes. The Navy one went 20, 22 minutes. And you know what happened. The Air Force guy got up. When the time for the Marine representative to get up, 2 minutes left on the clock. And if you can believe this, Frank Harrington said for the first 60 seconds, he didn't say a word. He just stood there and looked at the whole crowd. And you can imagine how it was an awkward silence for a guy that's got 2 minutes left to speak and he doesn't speak for the first minute. When he saw that he had 1 minute left, he said this to the crowd of high school students, I doubt if there's only 2, 3, 4 of you that could cut it in the Marines. If you're interested and you're one of those 2 or 3, I'll be in the cafeteria after the assembly. You realize that after the assembly was over, the greatest crowd was in the cafeteria, lined up to talk to the Marine recruiter. All he said was, I bet there's only 2 or 3 of you that could qualify for the Marines. I'm not here to recruit you to military service. I'm not here to encourage you to do government service or work for the Peace Corps. I'm not trying to recruit you for a company or an organization. I'm not even recruiting you for a cause. I'm saying, decide today, I'm going to be faithful to the Lord. I'm going to stop drifting. You can be a drifter for a lot of years. And some of you know it because you've been drifting for years. You can drift in a relationship for months and even years, and you know it because you've done it. You can drift in a relationship with a child for years, an adult child or a younger child, and from a parent, and you know what that's like. But today, we're going to decide. We're going to make the decision. We're not going to drift, and we're not going to neglect, and we're not going to ignore such a great salvation. I'll close with this. The word neglect. Some of you will remember this from the Psalm sermon series. In Psalm 119, the psalm writer says, I will not neglect your word. It was a commitment that he was making. Your word is a light and a lamp to my path, and I will not neglect it. And you may remember that I shared that day that the Hebrew word for neglect simply means two words, let go. Don't let it be said of you that you let go, figuratively or literally, of your relationship to the Lord, but you held fast. You were faithful to the end, faithful unto death. Those are the most important words that any person will ever hear when they stand before the Lord. Is not good job. You're a godly person. You were good. You're an honest person. Here's the words that's important. The word faithful servant. You were faithful.
You have been listening to Cross Hope with Randy Snyder. For more information or to listen to or download a copy of today's message, go to crosshope.org. That web address again is www.crosshope.org. Be sure to tune in each weekday at this same time to Cross Hope with Randy Snyder. This program has been a production of Cross Hope Ministries.